Hey folks, it's Remso here, and don't worry, you did not accidentally start the show in the middle of it or at the end of it or some awkward point because of, you know, phone glitches and all that crazy stuff. I just want to go ahead and take a moment to say thank you. That's just it. Thank you. This is an incredibly, I'm not going to say it's hard work, but it takes a lot of man hours. It takes a lot of time between producer Ryan and myself to go ahead and make sure that we're bringing you this content, but most importantly, that we're bringing you free content. In the world of media, independent media, alternative media, it's incredibly hard to keep it going. There are sites and projects and shows and everything else that start up every day and they die almost immediately. But thanks to your support, we've been able to go for so long so far. And I want to give a special shout out to somebody that recently joined our Patreon program for the $25 level. Now, that's the highest level we're currently offering at the moment you're listening to this, $25. It gets you all the exclusive content. It gets you a free signed copy of Liberty Force Issue 1 by our friend Johnny Rocket. It gets you all the Haunted Republic swag, everything you could possibly manage. And we don't often get people that subscribe at that level on Patreon, but I want to give a special thank you to Halsey English. Halsey is an entrepreneur himself, and he knows the struggles of independent media. And because of that, it really does mean a lot when people invest in our show. So if you'd like to help out, if you want to show that this is something that you believe in, but most importantly, you believe that what Team Republic is doing is worth it, please, you can sign up for as little as $1 a month. That's just $1. You don't even notice it. You throw it away in pocket change. But we offer so much at multiple levels to make sure that we're giving you something back as a way of saying, hey, we appreciate you because you're as much of a part of this as we are. So that's about it. Talk to you later and enjoy the show.
3, 2, 1.
This is Remso Republic.
The clash of punk rock and politics.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the one, the only Remso Republic podcast, broadcasting to you coast from coast from the one and only Commonwealth of Virginia, the best state in the union, if I may say so myself. We are currently number one trending. That's number one, ladies and gentlemen, here in the Commonwealth, and we're busting numbers in the East Coast. We are trending once again on the top 200 to the top charts in news and politics for North America on iTunes. But why win an entire continent when you're winning in the best state in the union? I might be a little bit biased, but hey, come on, somebody sue me about that. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. If it is your first time listening, I've got one message for you. We've got one mission here. I'm going to say it twice, making freedom fun again. You missed that. It's making freedom fun again. For people that have been listening for, you know, God knows how long, you hear it all the time. But if you're not having fun while spreading freedom, while talking about individual liberty, limited government, free markets, free minds in the process, well, then you're just like the regressive left who are setting things on fire to show how tolerant they are. But hey, we're not going to go ahead and talk about them. It's easy to be a headline chaser, but it's always harder to go for the actual topics, the hard topics. And that's what I want to talk about today. I don't claim to be an expert in many fields, but that's why I bring on people that actually know what they're talking about. And in Virginia, we have an upcoming election. So I was like, how can I merge two things together? Because I want to talk to some of the amazing candidates that are coming on, advancing for freedom here in Virginia. And I always focus a little bit more on Virginia politics because we're a bellwether state and what happens here affects the swamp. But at the same time, there's some stuff that's been popping on my radar that's completely blowing my mind. And if you're a millennial like myself, you're not really thinking about this of all things. You're probably not thinking about Social Security. More specifically, identity theft. I'm over at top10reviews.com. Let me go ahead and shoot out some facts for you. Identity fraud occurs every 2 seconds. Identity theft is the number one consumer complaint, according to the Federal Trade Commission. The medical sector has more identity theft than any other industry. And what's scarier is that children's identities can be stolen before they have any credit. If that's not freaking you out, then let me tell you a personal story. I had my identity stolen several years ago. I had this dude that took my credit card information and everything, and he was flying around the country, going to expensive hotels, having crazy one-night stands, blowing up my bills. And I freaked out. Thankfully, my bank was able to help me out with that, but that really kind of kept me on the radar. I'm now a lot more cautious about where I go, who I give my information out to. But I want to go ahead and talk about this threat because there are very few people in the Washington establishment in politics right now that are actually addressing those problems. But one of those people is there with us today. He's currently running in the 11th district here in Virginia. He's a cybersecurity expert. He's a military veteran, and he's currently running on the Republican district against Jerry Connelly, one of my favorite people, as you've heard me talk about in the past. Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Jeff Dove. Jeff, welcome to the program, sir.
Thank you so much for having me on, sir.
So, okay, I read off some facts just now. I'm freaking out. I know that there are other people that really don't care about where their information goes, and they're signing up for every free service and every free credit card, and they're just giving out their phone number and address, and so much information is lost out there. And I think some people just don't think it won't happen to me. It could never happen to me. That happens to other people. But is this really something we should be concerned with, or is it something that just happens, you know, to a large group of people? But when you look at everything in the macro level, it's really not that many.
So one thing I believe that federal government people such as or elected officials should be focused on is the physical and digital security of all Americans. We've noticed over the past few years, there's been huge breaches of government agencies with regards to cybersecurity. Social security numbers are basically floating out there anywhere on 4chan or various number of sites. So something that I've been proposing since I announced back in February is to actually tie multi-factor authentication to every transaction related to the social security number.
So, sir, pretend I'm stupid. What's that?
So pretty much everybody now has multiple ways to authenticate with regards to maybe your credit card company asks you for a separate your password plus a PIN or password plus fingerprint or whatever it may be. There's a secondary method. So it's not just one thing that allows you to get access to that application or allows you to get access to whatever website you're going to. So I want to take that and apply that to the thing that's supposed to be the most secure thing we have, which is our identity in a sense, because the social security number was never intended to be our identification number, but now it has become that. So it should be more secure than it actually is.
This is one of those things where it makes sense. Like, you could say that to anybody. It makes perfect sense. And this is something that, I mean, it sounds like it could get bipartisan support. Is this just a Republican idea, or do you think this is something that, you know, both Republicans and Democrats could work to actually, you know, flesh out into legislation?
So this is something that's not – it goes past party lines. This is just about protecting all of us from the digital threats that exist today. My proposal is to limit fraud at the source, not – you know, the secondary sources, like worrying about getting protection from your bank, in a sense, with regards to your social security number. If it's protected at the Social Security Administration with this multi-factor authentication, that makes it easier for all these other organizations to then protect your identities. Now, this will not eliminate, you know, someone having a skimmer at a gas station and pulling your credit card number or at a, you know, retailer and getting that information, but it will limit the amount of fraud that we have related to, you know, bank loans and applying for credit cards and things of that nature, as well as tax fraud and employment fraud as well.
It's terrifying. Why is this something that, I mean, I always assume that when it comes to the government, even a good idea can move slowly. But are there any private sector solutions that are kind of showing us that, hey, this could actually work?
So if you you look at all the private sector, they're already applying it directly to what they deem needs to be secured with regards to like your credit card number, as example. Like I said before, your banking app requires you to have multiple forms of authentication. Amazon Web Services, when you set up your own account, they require you to have an app to authenticate to the site that uses an algorithm in order to log into your environment. There's a lot of organizations in the private sector that are doing it. The Social Security Administration actually attempted to add multi-factor authentication to their website, the MySSN website, but there was a lot of pushback because older people did not necessarily have smartphones, and they were basically forcing people to utilize their smartphone in order to have that secondary authentication. Now, this was not protecting the number itself. This was just logging into the Social Security number or Social Security website.
Wow. Sir, we're going to go ahead and take our first commercial break. Folks, hang on tight. We'll be back in a minute. We've got special guest Jeff Dove. We'll be back shortly.
Let's make freedom fun again. Join the Rimso Republic on Patreon today.
Hey, that's
really
good.
Take the show on the go by subscribing to the Rimso Republic on iTunes, SoundCloud, Stitcher, TuneIn, Google Play, and YouTube. Don't be left out.
It's time to shake up your podcast feed, folks, by subscribing to Lions of Liberty, the only libertarian variety show out there. Spend Mondays with me, Mark Claire, as I feature in-depth interviews with great names in the libertarian community and fun roundtable discussions.
Electric Liberty Land with me, Brian McWilliams, every Wednesday, your weekly dose of comedy, culture, and liberty.
And Felony Fridays with me, John Odermatt, where I expose injustice in the broken criminal justice system.
Find us on iTunes, Stitcher, and at lionsofliberty.com.
Hey everyone, the Johnny Rocket Launchpad is Liberty. Each week we strive to bring you the best guests in talk radio. The Johnny Rocket Launchpad delivers weekly interviews of noteworthy politicians, experts, and activists. The Johnny Rocket Launchpad is bringing the party to the Libertarian Party and launching ideas in your direction. Check us out at johnnyrocketlaunchpad.com. You can hear me, Kurt Nelson, and the beautiful Heather Nixon talk about the ideas of liberty, rock and roll.
Make sure to visit libertarianwingmedia.com, where you can find articles written by libertarians all over the world on all of today's issues. Check out our podcast network with monthly and weekly podcasts. Check out our libertarian t-shirt store with t-shirts like Make Markets Free Again and Make Markets Not War. And you too can become an author at Libertarian Wing Media and write what you want when you want. Just email alexmerced at alexmerced.com. Thank you very much.
Folks, welcome back to the program. We're going to continue our conversation from earlier, but Jeff, I kind of want to pivot a little bit. You jumped in this race back in February, and I saw your announcement, and I'm like, okay, who is this guy? And instantly, I think you and I kind of click because we both have a military background. We're both really upset with the fact that we have these incumbents here in Northern Virginia especially that never go opposed. But frankly, a lot of people in Northern Virginia are like, oh, Republicans used to win around here, and Republicans win, you know, here and there. But ultimately, when you're going up against somebody named Jerry Connolly, who is, I mean, he's like an ossified machine in Washington now. I mean, no one even knows like what he does anymore. He just sits around and you might see him at a campaign event and he'll just like disappear 5 seconds later. But why did you decide now is the time you want to go ahead and jump into this race, especially against Jerry?
So I've always had this itch for public service, and that's part of the reason why I joined the military. Well, actually, the main reason why I joined the military. And I, last year, I went into the ballot box, and on one side, I see the presidential election, and on the other side, I see the congressional race. And there was only one name there, and it was Jerry Connolly. And I'd been thinking about, you know, running my entire life. And I basically said to myself, how in the world did this happen? How did a congressional seat go unopposed? That should never happen. I don't care what party it is. You should give the people multiple voices to decide upon. They should never just have one choice. So after, you know, reaching out to some people and talking to family, I decided that this was definitely the seat that I was going to go for. Since I've announced, you know, there was a lot of people that came out and said, you know, who is this guy? You're just a regular guy. You're not a businessman or a lawyer or, you know, some person who's been out in the community forever or someone who's already in public office. But that's not necessarily what we need right now. We need people with fresh ideas and people who are willing to actually work for the people that they serve, not people who believe that they are above anyone else. And that's what I'm seeing with this person who is currently in office now. And that's what I'm trying to replace.
So he used to actually be my congressman until we got redistricted. And now I think it's Barbara Comstock, who's my current congresswoman. When it comes to the 11th district, it's a little bit more left of center. You know, and it's hard. And one of the reasons why the Republican Party hasn't really put much of a fight against Jerry in the past is because they just assume that you can't beat that guy. You know, going out and actually talking to your, you know, possible voters and constituents, what's the reception you're getting? Is it negative? Is it positive? Is it the wishy-washy? Oh, I would show up if you had a chance. And then it's like, well, why don't you show up? I mean, how are people reacting to you?
So what's interesting is the response that I'm getting from the people, not just in the district, but in, you know, I've been campaigning around the state as well, has been quite positive. It's interesting, you know, regardless of whether someone is a hard Democrat, a hard Republican, when I talk to them about Representative Connolly, nobody has necessarily great affection towards him. It's pretty much, oh, yeah, I know that guy. He hasn't really done much for our community and will support you. And so that's what I'm using to motivate myself. No matter what any of the naysayers tell me, I'm just listening to what I'm actually getting on the ground. And that's all I can base it on.
Totally. And what's really weird is the fact that, you know, his tactic in the past, and we saw this with Chris Perkins back in 2012. He tends to ignore people a lot. And the funny thing about right now is that it's pretty blatantly obvious that he's not ignoring you. You'll go ahead and tweet something saying one thing, and he'll basically go ahead and blatantly copy it with his Jerry spin. Do you think you're starting to freak him out a little bit?
I think that I actually freaked him out in February when I announced, because I did a small meet and greet, my very first meet and greet. There were maybe 10 people there, and he actually sent a tracker to monitor the event and record me to try and use it as somewhat of an intimidation tactic to try and get me to, I guess, slip up in a sense. And since then, like we were talking about the Social Security initiative I'm pushing, or legislation I would like to push, he has basically tried to make himself out to be a proponent of protecting people's identities. But you can go look through his entire history, and he doesn't talk about identity theft. The only thing that he has to fall back on is that 2015 bill where he voted yes to remove the Social Security number from Medicare access cards. And that is still leading from behind. That is not innovative ideas. He has not I think the thing that scares him the most is his entire his legislative career is based on glomming onto other people's ideas and getting those passed. He has not really proposed any legislation himself as the primary sponsor that has really made it through to the president other than two things. And one of them was to rename a building. So, you know, accomplishments, I believe, are something that he's lacking. And that I think really makes him nervous.
Yeah, because, and you know, maybe it's because I'm not even like a pessimist. I consider myself a catastrophist. When I think of just regular congressmen, I don't necessarily think of the most innovative people. But if you really want to take the useless cake, I can't think of anyone better than Connolly. Because I remember when I was at FreedomWorks back in 2015, I went to go take notes about it was a session regarding FOIA requests and the backlog from the DOJ regarding journalists and other people that are filing FOIA requests. And Connolly was I think he still might be he had a seat in the House Oversight and Reform Committee. And here's what he does: he shows up late in the middle of someone's testimony. He kind of awkwardly stands in the corner. He has to have some interns go grab some stuff, like, you know, some water, pillow, and all that stuff. Sits down for like maybe 15 minutes, and then he leaves. And I remember at the time I'm looking at him, it's like, hey, that guy used to, you know, I used to be in that guy's district. So I go ahead and ask around. I'm not able to go back to any sessions because I've got actual work, unlike Connolly. And I go ahead and ask people that are going there. It's like, hey, does Jerry show up? Does he ever say anything? And the responses I get are, yeah, but, I mean, he really just goes back to his office, closes the door, and that's about it. Do you think he actually cares about doing anything? Because from, like, you know, a libertarian perspective, a useless politician that does nothing is a politician that's not doing something to actively destroy people. But what we've seen from, you know, Northern Virginia Democrats, Connolly during all these like crazy things where he's just talking about statues and calling Trump a racist, he actually doesn't seem to care about the people he's representing.
So what he appears to do in my estimation is he likes to find the best photo op or best opportunity to grandstand. Let's take as an example, when the Muslim ban went into effect, or the ban went into effect, he went to Dulles Airport and was berating officers there just to get on camera because he knew the cameras would be there. There's things that he does like that. When you were talking about the pillow cushion, that's a very interesting situation, because a few weeks ago when he was talking to WJLA News, Channel 7, about the IT scandal related to the Juan brothers, he tried to, you know, be kind of hands off, like they had no access to the committee's data. And what's interesting in that article, he actually has a quote where he talks about all 535 offices in Congress being princely courts. So he
what the actual heck?
Yeah. So he's basically been in office so long that he has this view of himself as being somewhat of a monarch now. And that's another reason why I'm trying to retire him, is because of this elitist mentality that exists.
Oh my Lord. That people wonder why, like, you know, I was not a giant Trump fan during the 2016 general election, but the thing I kept hearing from people was, you know, at least I feel like Trump genuinely cares about the people he's, you know, his supporters, and he genuinely cares about things. And to a large degree, I think anyone can fake authenticity. With this guy, I don't even, like, he jumped on the whole Charlottesville bandwagon. How many interns had to help him draft those tweets or any of those statements?
So with regards to Charlottesville, I put out a press release last week because he's basically using it as political points, or trying to gain political points, because he didn't even mention the three lives that we lost, the two state troopers and Heather Heyer. Made no mention of it on his social media accounts, or, you know, Facebook or his website, when typically he's pretty quick to try and jump on an opportunity like that. So he jumps on a censure resolution with Nancy Pelosi last week, and I basically called him out because your representative, Barbara Comstock, actually put forward legislation in April this year to deal with hate crimes and, you know, focus on preventing them, or not preventing them, but focus on dealing with them as they come up. And that's actually something substantive. That is legislation that could actually make a difference. He has not co-sponsored it. But there's bipartisan support for this, and this is a next door neighbor in a sense that's put this legislation forward. If he was actually trying to make a difference, he would have probably co-sponsored that particular bill. But because he's not, he's just attacking the president, and that's been his focus since November 9th, or actually November 8th. Then that limits his effectiveness and what he can actually accomplish.
Wow, that's absolutely sickening. Sir, we're going to go ahead and take our final commercial break. Folks, hang on tight. The conversation continues right after this.
We'll be back shortly.
Visit RemzoRepublic.com for all available content.
Hey guys, Tim Preuss here, and I wanted to take a minute and invite you to stop over to PreussPodcast.com and give our show a listen. We've got in-depth commentary on the issues that matter to you.
These hookers. Fucking whores are out there.
These hookers, man, I tell you.
Yeah, that's like the most contact I've had with the hooker.
It's them yelling at
them
you.
Them yelling at me at Twitter.
We break down the most pressing issues of our time.
This what? Large lady with, like, tight clothing on. Not appropriately linked tight clothing either.
And we get the most intelligent analysis from friends of ours like Jeffrey Tucker.
You pulled over engine trouble and what happened? I don't know.
Seriously though, we love putting on a show that both entertains and educates. We're growing and we'd be thrilled if you joined us. Check out PreussPodcast.com for more. That's P-R-E-U-S-S podcast.com.
Make sure to subscribe to all the podcasts on the Libertarian Wing Media Podcast Network on Google Play, iTunes, and Stitcher, such as the Alex Merced Cast, with interesting interviews with interesting people every week. Breaking Progressives, spending time every week breaking down left-wing narratives and showing what's real and what's fake. Economics Why Not, a weekly look at economics and applying economic principles to daily life. Better Today, a weekly podcast where we take a look on ways to improve your life and be better today. Libertarian Commons is a podcast where we play audio from the video archives of Alex Merced from his videos dating back to 2008. Liberty Public Access, a podcast where anyone can submit an episode. Submit your episodes to Alex Merced at alexmerced.com. Have you been wanting to start your own podcast? Then subscribe to Podcasts and Blogging Tips and Tricks, a weekly podcast about how to host your podcast, how to produce your podcast, and how to market your podcast. We'll be adding some monthly podcasts to the lineup soon, including Make Markets Free Again, a monthly look at what's going on in markets and regulation all over the world, and the Free VST podcast, looking at free VST instruments for electronic music producers. Listen to these podcasts by going to libertarianwingmedia.com or subscribing on iTunes, Stitcher, or Google Play. And if you enjoy the podcast, tell your friends and leave a positive review on iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Play.
Folks, welcome back. We're going to go ahead and wrap up the program, but we've got a few extra minutes of Jeff. I think we've covered a lot of hard topics, so I just kind of want to ease back a little bit. And, you know, there are some things I'm genuinely curious about. Sir, you know, I'm new to the Republican Party, and I'm still really learning how everything kind of operates and, you know, what the Republican identity is. I think that's been, like, my, you know, personal journey, understanding the, you know, the different shades and voices of the Republican Party. And the biggest thing I remember constantly growing up, I was continually even told this going to public school, was that the Republican Party has a minority outreach problem. So right here, we've got me, dad's from Puerto Rico, my mom's Korean, and then we've got you, and I highly doubt you're one of those white supremacist Republicans. Just a hunch.
Yeah, I don't fall in that category.
That would be kind of a grasp, I think so. So right now you're dealing with Northern Virginia, which has been turning, you know, a little bit more towards a progressive streak since the Obama era. And right now you're in a heavily minority district. When people learn that you're a Republican, are they shocked at all? Or are they like, oh, you've got, okay, they're putting up another guy to go against Jerry, and this time they're using some, you know, some identity politics?
So I can tell you, it was interesting. I actually walked in the Dell City Parade for 4th of July, and, you know, this district is a minority-majority district, so pretty much the majority of the people that were out were minority families. And while I'm walking up, let's say I go to an African-American family and I say, hey, I'm Jeff Dove, I'm running for Congress. They had this look of shock on their face that, oh my gosh, there's an African-American Republican running here for Congress. Like that's the look I've gotten quite a bit. I would say with regards to the party as a whole, something that I've been finding out as I've been talking to all these various groups of people, whether it's a Hispanic church, a Black church, an Asian church, you know, whatever the or whatever the location it is, a festival, people feel as though, well, a lot of people have conservative ideals, but they don't necessarily feel like the party is willing to be inclusive enough to include them in it. And I kind of, when I'm talking to people, because I kind of shatter that perception when they see me, it really helps get them to lend their support towards me.
Gotcha. I mean, since becoming a Republican, one of the proud moments that I think no one talked about was the fact that my guy during the GOP primary, Ted Cruz, was the first Hispanic American to win a, you know, any type of major presidential primary. He won the Iowa caucus. No one talked about that. Everyone's talking about Hillary breaking the glass ceiling, which had been shattered before by so many other women. But Ted Cruz does that. And then you look at the stage and you have one of my other favorites, Dr. Ben Carson. You have Marco Rubio. People forget that Bobby Jindal ran for president. But then you look at local races. The Republican Party isn't just diverse in thought, but it's diverse in background. It's diverse in creed. It's diverse in experience. And I think one of the reasons why people are also kind of flocking to your campaign is the fact that Jerry doesn't represent any of that. He's doing the exact same thing all Democrats do. Just be regressive, stop everything, call everyone racist, and then try and, you know, throw in some scare tactics during the campaign.
Yeah, let's look at his career since he's been in Washington. The Democrats were in control of Congress when he arrived, and he put forward many bills. None of them even got past committee because his own party didn't like his ideas or think that they were useful.
Ouch.
So, I mean, we have someone that's somewhat in it for himself right now. When you search for Jerry Connolly in Google, the biggest story that comes back is him making a fake Time magazine cover. Wow.
That's worse than the Princely Courts comment.
So I mean, that just shows he hasn't done anything meaningful in the past 10 years.
Oh my god.
At all. And I hope to with my candidacy, even if I don't win, that I motivate people, you know, some young person that I might meet to actually run. So, you know, that's what I hope to gain out of this.
Definitely. Sir, the clock is running right now. I've got to let you go in a few moments. You know, what's your message for the folks at home, especially in the people in District 11 who just feel like, you know, this is a long shot. This is something where we're going up against a dude that just seems that like people don't even know if he's a real person. I've met more than one Democrat who says that, oh yeah, I've interned for him and this stuff, and they've never actually seen him. Like, what does that say when the people working for you have never been in the same physical space as you? I mean, yeah, it's shocking.
That's one thing people have said about me. They can see that I'm everywhere. I try to go to every single event that I can possibly go to. I was at a school board debate last night in Fairfax or in McLean. So I don't want to be one of those people that's not accessible. With regards to my candidacy, I believe that I've been able to accomplish so many things in my life that people have told me I can't do. You know, I came up in a somewhat bad neighborhood where it was like either you're in a gang or you're doing drugs or you're dead. And so I was able to get out of that. I was able to graduate high school and then go on to graduate college and be one of the first ones in my family to accomplish that. There's so many naysayers that will try and push their fear on you all the time. And you have to ignore that and continue on your path to accomplish the goals that you set out. So when people told me, oh, why would you try and go for Congress? I said, that's where I feel like I can actually make a difference. And I want to work for the people of this district and I will fight for them to the nail to get stuff done for them.
Outstanding, sir. If people want to learn more about your campaign, connect with you on social media and all that jazz, how could they do so?
So you can reach out to me on www.doveforcongress.com, Jeff Dove for Congress on Facebook, Jeffrey A. Dove Jr. on Twitter. I'm on social media all the time because I'm an IT guy. So
there you go.
You can always reach out to me and I'll respond pretty quickly.
Perfect. Sir, thank you so much for coming on the program. It's been an absolute blast and best of luck in your race.
Thank you very much for having me.
Folks, I want to emphasize something else. It's not good enough just to have, you know, obvious diversity. If you don't have diversity of thought, nothing else matters. And the one thing I've learned since being, you know, trying to learn more about the Republican Party and what's really going on in this country is that we need to have honest and open discussions. We need policy that makes sense regardless of where you're from, how much you know, it's actually going to benefit your life. But most importantly, we need to free ourselves of this collectivist mentality of, oh, that guy just knows what he's doing, don't say anything about him, send him back. All that negative BS that has us in the problems that we face. We have an opportunity now. Let's go ahead and take advantage of it. And speaking of taking advantage of it, I'm going to go ahead and give a pitch for myself. Go ahead and leave me a rating and review on iTunes, SoundCloud, Stitcher, all those awesome places. And if you don't have the perfect app or platform or network of your choice, go ahead and find us at www.remsorepublic.com/podcast. We made it easy for you. As always, be good to your neighbor. Go out and treat yourself a bit. And tune in next week, America. I'm Remso W. Martinez. Good night.
Stay connected to Liberty's Rabble Rouser on Facebook and Twitter to stay up to date with the latest episodes, blogs, and other available content. What are you waiting for?